Well, Ms. Gardner, as our dinner, okay, good evening, counselors. First of all, start with taking apologies. Busy month again in October. We had a very successful Red Bull Fox hunt in the Strever at the Roney Park, and we had also a very successful trip to China. Liam himself and the Chamber of Paul Conrad from the Chamber of Commerce and Keith from SRC attended along with Amanda for our officers. So I think we'll see a lot of positive commitments in the education front will come fairly quickly, and then we'll start to build our business plans. I think it will take a little bit longer to establish with the Chinese side. I feel like they have a lot to learn from us, and hopefully we'll gain experience from them as well. We've also had a successful announcement of City Games, which is going to bring great benefit to our district. As we didn't get all the funding that we had hoped for, hopefully our projects will still all go ahead with them. We followed that up there with fantastic City of Merchants Festival, which was a weekend pass. And I think we'll have to acknowledge our thanks to First Railways and KX for bringing along the Red Bull car on Sunday, which brought an extra day here. And the crowds were fantastic there. I also attended the Strever for World War I Roll of Honour, which was a very moving event in the Church of Ireland there, honouring those that lost their lives in the First World War. We also had a very successful Holidays Festival in Newcastle, which I think seemed like the biggest crowd we've ever had, with over 20,000 people who believe in attendance. We also have to give congratulations to the Newry Rainbow Project, community, on winning the UK Pride for 2019, UK and Ireland Pride. So that'll be a great benefit to the district, and we'll have to get behind them and ensure that we have a fantastic event for them. And it also brings a conference as well in March. Okay, and the council also was successful in the Milga Awards. With Newry Leisure Centre winning the award for the best building. We also had Sean McKevitt nominated with his MND and the Tourism Department for developing epic experiences. So well done to all the leaders who took part in that. Okay, so we're starting to move on. Is there any declarations of interest?
Sorry, I just didn't declare an interest in the SDR Minister.
So, action taken arising in the council meeting held on the 1st of October 2018. Over to
Chairman, most of the actions are underway. I know this piece of dates are as follows, should be down to the minutes. But we're still outstanding a number of responses back from Second Estate and from strategic second mainly in relation to a number of the resolutions, Chairman. But happy to take any questions.
Anything arise from that? Active Transformation held on the 1st of October. Again, that's for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Any matters arising? No. We'll move on to the minutes of special council meeting held on the 24th of September. Again, for accuracy, we'll take 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Your vote.
Councillor Burgess. Councillor Clark. Any matters arising? We move on then to the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee held on the 8th of October, again for accuracy. So we'll put page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 8. Proposer and second. Councillor Stokes, Councillor Hanna, Councillor Kern. Sorry, 1 second, Councillor Kirk. Can we look at the volume there? Yeah, we'll get them started again once we get the volume off. Councillor Ray, if you put your phone on silent, please.
Or off.
We all know the sound of your phone. Just cast your microphone. Okay, good.
Workshop, some description. We didn't put that workshop to a meeting.
because when universities think in our area, and we do need to give them some supportive descriptions. All I want to know is when will it work out for me, because it is an age of inspiration.
Sure, they did the workshop this Saturday, and I think it might be a little bit closer to the metaphor of the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I attended the meeting that day, and not being a member of the committee, I wasn't able to actually put my motion or have it seconded. Unfortunately, Germany injured his leg and wasn't able to attend that day. He had intended to do it. And Pete Byrne, I think, had missed the meeting for other reasons to do the work, so they weren't able to propose and second the motion. So the difficulty I was faced with was I wasn't able to put the motion, and I think it needs to be discussed. Essentially, Chairperson, we almost uniquely in Ireland aren't able to advise the tourism authorities north and south about what our schedule of festivals is over the next 1 or 2 years, because of the short-term nature of the funding of these festivals. Now, the suggestion I had was that any festival be running for more than 20 years, and you think just in my area, I'm not thinking my area just for any special reason other than the fact that I know it. Other areas are the same. But if Strangford's been going for more than 20 years, or Ardass, I think, has been going for 49 years, that we should know, we should be able to tell.
We don't need to rerun the thing again.
Chairperson, it's not fit for purpose that we don't fund our community festivals.
Yeah, well, right. If we're going to talk about this detail, and we're going to have right, so can we move on to the next figure?
So will this matter be dealt with on the 6th, so we can finally get around to telling the board when our festivals are on, because we've got them properly funded in advance.
Yeah.
We'll
leave the workshop.
Sorry, that's not correct. I chaired that meeting. He did have his motion.
We'll get the country plans in for them. It's all the same item, isn't it?
No.
Nope.
The RD, but it's not a separate
Can we get a note? We'll get a note, please.
Mr. Country Kevin's, Country Barn,
Country Casey.
These are all different.
Different
angle. Are you the same item, Peter? Right.
Okay, then we need to talk back there. And then everybody touch the mics, and then just let's push it around and then try to part it.
Can everybody turn their lights off then? I bring these in then, the order wants them. Can you turn yours off, Peter?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks, Chairman. No, it's just to clarify, Councillor Tennant's motion heard at that particular meeting, and the decision then was made following his motion. And I think if memory serves me right, Councillor Dux maybe either proposed it or seconded it. So it was also seconded. So it's false for me to be in here to say that it wasn't heard and it wasn't dealt with, it was dealt with. It's on those heard.
Councillor Burton?
Same item, and it's not, I know it was discussed with many angles, I've worked in this, and it's probably already going to be addressed in the time of the past.
And two some consideration.
I just want to make a brief comment. And first of all, I want to congratulate the Mary Rainbow Committee for the success of the UK and Ireland Pride in 2018 and how the community has been so. I think, you know, that bid itself, the debate that I've done with the video was absolutely excellent. And I hope the Vice Chair Council has done as well as the Master Challenger. We're all delighted to have them, and I look forward to the chance of working hardship with the MRC and Brian Carey to produce next year a festival right along the island that we can all be very proud of. But I do want to make a comment on this, and I know we're going to have a workshop, and make a great comment because I was not reading. And I know it in the darkness here, or in the minutes, it says we get those guarantees here from the community-led festivals. We need to take this seriously at this meeting on the 6th of December. I've been speaking with this for the last year, and from last year's meeting last December, on how we need to support community festivals.
To go from the stadiums to our Ethan's team, all that. He was actually stadiums.
Well, how do you work that? That's how he's out. He was like,
oh, how do you work that? The
reason why I made the point, in council minutes, you can say that it's only an accuracy, but the committee meetings that you work out, you can make the point. And that's the whole reason why committees are appointed to this chamber. Because there's only all the council seven committees, and those who went there can make that point to this chamber. Not council meetings, but committee meetings, and that's why they came. If no one was at the meeting, I was at the meeting. So I hope that there is a strong discussion on this.
Councillor Walker, can you hold off until it's not on community festivals?
It is.
Oh, it is. I asked was everybody that wanted to speak about community festivals to make it home, and we asked everyone to turn their lights off to allow people to go back in. So, like,
I've
been having you to say, Toya.
Something that we will support in relation to workshops and that, in relation to the community festivals, you know, it's something that there should be money. Rent fence, and then hopefully the workshop will take that out and will come back with a paper to this council and
right.
To it. But also, Council, Chairman, I just want to say this. I think this issue here, I think you have been a bit harsh with the presenter of it. Like, me and him, you don't see the idea in that, but I think you've been a bit harsh. Any time you went to speak on it, you've shot him down.
All I would like is commend the people responsible for the festival we had there over the last couple of days. I wasn't at all the events, but I was actually there on the Friday night at the Newry Market, and at the South Church, and the weather wasn't too kind, But the drummers of light, I think, is what they call them?
Spark.
Drummers of light are fantastic, I have to say. They're doing very well. They prayed over, and then the fireworks display was signing them on. So. And the galleon, the burning galleon on the end of the ship of the crane, I thought it was lost on a lot of people. And I thought that was very good, very unique. So well done to all the concerns.
So now we have Mr. Hannah.
Just I'll rest in one of these questions.
Chairman, I'd like to pick up and then get the lead. It's probably nearer to where we were after. Again, the decision in terms of the need for a civic centre was identified within the Council's corporate plan, which was published in March 2015, which set out the projects that the Council wished to bring forward within the term of Council. So that was identified that there. On the back of that, then we appointed Deloitte to do a piece of work to look at what sites were available for
civic centre and also conference facilities adjacent to it. And that's developed in terms of what the need was for the area to like brought forward a report on the basis of that there. So what we've done is that they did a piece of work in terms of they identified what sites were in their ownership and what other potential sites outside it. Again, it's people here figure of 20 million. What the council did was identify 20 million as what they required was investment for a civic and conference facility into it. But the purpose has never been directly to deliver it ourselves. We've also had the option whereby we would look at different methods for delivery of the civic and conference facility. That was the position to start. So whether it be a joint venture, or it could be a build and lease back, whether it could be developed ourselves, we design and build. So we're looking at different options in terms of delivery. We then took a decision about a year and a half ago to actually deliver on the conference theatre facility on the Thompson site, which was identified. Beyond the other site, which can cater in our ownership, have excluded a number of the other sites, and members will be well aware. The council's desire to develop a park on the Alpha Basin site, which is the other site of magnitude that could be located within the civic centre. That was really left only the Abbey Bay site available. It was all been our purpose then, in terms of emphasis, when we developed any loss of car parking would need to be replaced. On that basis, we retain the option for PFC to actually the North Street site to evade any loss of car parking within that area. But we really want to pick up in terms of the next year.
So, it is council have made the very clear decision in conference and data on the Ross Thompson site, our first site is being set for the civic centre in terms of the reset, there's the alleyway, but the procurement process, what that does is allow the option to level privately in the land as well. We have put out a procurement process at the minute for the integrated design teams for both, so people will have seen that being advertised publicly, and we're just doing an assessment of the PQQ stage of that. And we've been putting in place two teams, one to work on the theatre conference and one to work on the civic centre, and really that's when you bring it up to stage Eureka, which allows us then to go through design and build. But we've been running two separate procurement processes then to build, because we're clear on the site for Ross Thompson, but we have not confirmed a site for the civic centre as yet. The one that we have in our ownership that is most suitable is the Abbey Way, but that's not to say somebody has come to the table with something more suitable.
Sorry, just a follow-up, Jason, because I if the college come back to us, for example, the SRC, and say they're not interested in the sports centre, say, does that come under consideration in any kinds of equipment being given to interfere with that?
The college sites have been ruled out for many other reasons, and I actually don't remember them at that stage, to be honest with you. There was a set of criteria that we had developed for the Civic Centre Atmosphere Conference around location and regeneration potential for the fall into the Civic Centre itself. So I would need to go back, and I can go back and clarify that, but there's clear documentation as to why the sports centre site was ruled out. It was ruled out not for the necessary development that's been considered in the minute, but it was ruled out for other reasons. And we have to look at that for other purposes, but for all of these.
Councillor Rennie.
Thanks, Carolyn. My issue was with Moray on the planning issue. Is it okay to bring it up to you now? Thanks very much, Carolyn. It's just on the issue
on planning, on the, how the planning committee operates, or planning?
It's an issue that has to do with planning.
So it has to do with planning, reason with this directly.
I would like it recorded though in a minute.
Well, email it to her then. It's freedom of information.
I could have not finished. Why are you being such a belligerent nasty
Right, so you can email it to her. Thank you. Turn the light off and replace. Thank you.
Next up, the young James
So we'll move on to the minutes of the SPNR committee held on the 11th of October. And again, for accuracy, we've got page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Hoser, Steiner? Councillor Burns? Somebody second that, please? Councillor Savage? Any matters arising? Councillor Stokes?
Yes, thank you, Chair.
It's very difficult to hear. Can you please ensure that you speak into the microphones loudly, please?
It's the speakers in the room aren't working. It's speaker? Coming out of here.
Oh, it's coming out of here.
You're in there, Charlie.
I can hear you okay. Councillor Walker.
In relation to the report on the Irish language financial assistance, I wasn't able to get to the last meeting, so wasn't able to speak on it. Effectively, when I look at the agreed recommendations, what I'd like to know is this year, a budget of 50,000 be allocated to the Irish Language Financial Assistance Scheme under a specific Irish Language budget, right? And a budget of 40,000 to be allocated to the Irish Language Bursary Scheme, 1920. What I want to know, last year we agreed money for an Irish Language Bursary, which I voted against. What I want to know is this additional monies within two the financial assistance scheme, and is it additional money going in to the bursary scheme? Because if it is, I'm absolutely outraged at it if it is, because as a unionist out there looking in, we're throwing money after money to the Irish language, and when we as a unionist community speak something, we never get it. We never get it. We're going to pull the gun through other channels. Money can't be ready fast for you. But here, money's been set aside. Money's been thrown hand over fist to the Irish language. And every time they get it, so they do. Now, I want to know, is this extra funding on top of what we already did last year?
Thank you, Chairperson. Last year in the budget transfers, there was a budget of 50,000 for Irish language financial assistance and 30,000 for the Irish language bursary scheme. So a report went through the Irish language working group on the uptake of both of those schemes. The Irish language bursary scheme was oversubscribed this year, and had we been in a position to do so, probably could have given out more money than the 30. So a proposal came in front of the committee to increase that element by 10,000, and that's the proposal that's in front of you. So last year it was 50 and 30. The proposal this year then is 50 and 40, so an additional £10,000 due to the oversubscription this year, the additional subscription on the bursary scheme.
Thank you. Well, I actually think it's totally wrong. Every time they come back looking for money, they get it. And can I ask, what have we got as a unionist community in this council in the last 4 years? That's what I'm getting in the neck out there as an elected representative and the people that I represent. Asking, what are is our community getting? I'd like to know that, or can somebody give me figures of what we have been getting? Because we're getting nothing. I'm talking about the community that I'm representing. They're coming to me, they're asking, what are we getting as a unionist community in this council. We're getting absolutely nothing. Nothing. And nobody in here can say we are. What? Tell me what? Tell me what? I'm sorry. You tell me what we're getting.
I agree.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just to follow up on Councillor Walker's comments, we have £90,000 here to both financial assistance and to the bursary. What we find is, in reality, the costs are much different to sustain various language in this council. But to take common staff costs and other costs, the figure is much greater than this. And so my contention, like Councillor Walker's, is a level of funding. This council has already cashed up and we're starting the rate setting process. What I'm thinking about is other minority languages where Aries is a fourth spoken language here, and really we're treating other residents with other from other groups in an unfair manner. I don't believe, I mean, I have no issue with people wanting to learn the Aries language. People learned it in the south of Ireland. Got together as groups socially, and they worked together, and they were, and it actually was more effective than throwing money at them, and it was more effective than even having an act to force it through. So people want to learn it, to get together. So I have no difficulty with that, but it's the level of funding. I mean, there's education facilities, there's other facilities out there, and yet this council is out quite a substantial figure here. So I'm certainly not happy. It's not affordable. So I'm not happy with the proposal as before us here, Chair.
That's what I want. It's just that those couple of things I just want to bring up. The very notion of the AK coming back and having more money. It's really pretty insulting. Because I don't know exactly who at least calling there. To compare an Irish language to a community is an election to have out compared to languages. To compare the Irish language to the English language, say, or the Irish language and French language, any other few languages. Liz was comments, Liz was saying, are there no unionists who would embrace the Irish language? Are there no unionists who would choose to speak the Irish language? Nobody doesn't know really how to do so. It was mentioned there on staff costs. This council invests in people. People to go and deliver services, people to go and work with community groups. Now, the staff who work in the Irish language unit do fantastic work. There's other languages mentioned. Set up a working group to develop relationships with other languages, the same way as was an Irish language strategy working group set up. It's not, people aren't coming up with money to kind of the best for the Irish language. The first 2 years of the Irish language strategy, there was no money up for it. We said in year one and year two, let us come up with a strategy, let us explore, let us look at what all the other councils do. We took a whole paper before the council this time last year and looked at how any other councils who were delivering an Irish language strategy were able to create a budget for it. As was correctly pointed out, the Irish language strategy working group, a whole breakdown of the money that was given and needed, required last year, was put down there. It was a budget of £50,000 being allocated. The financial assistance scheme and 30,000 for the bursary scheme. The 30,000, the probably 35,000, 36,000 needed, there's children turned away from it and people turned away who wanted to go on courses to develop their Irish language. It was a fantastic scheme. Those people from the length and breadth of the district were able to avail of it. The people have been contacting the council flat out, looking at their way to open the scheme for next year. Just personally, on behalf of our group, I welcome it. I think it's fantastic. I think it's, in terms of the Irish language, it's money being spent in the right way. It's an education. It's,
thank you, Councillor Mark. Councillor Hyland.
Yeah, thanks, Chairman. Councillor Walker, the moment of fact when he wasn't able to get to the meeting, but that's where the language was up for discussion. That's where he could have been. He couldn't make it, that's unfortunate, but that's where it was. We're not going to re-talk it again. I think here tonight we should be doing that, but just to point out very clearly and precisely that this is a bilingual council. This is a bilingual council. English, language. there's no reason or factor to stop us from supporting the Irish members. And many thousand pounds, to be honest, is a small, small amount. They have to over these groups and they spent on the work way. Like, the money that we spend on placing bilingual signs in this council, that was purposely destroyed purposely. We compensate a lot for the money that we make those. But those signs weren't attacked as they are done on a regular and sustained basis by people in the community. And we think that has more money to spend on workplace as Jack was said, is the very challenge. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor.
Councillor Taylor. Chair, thanks. Just a point of clarity, Chair, in terms of the bursary and financial assistance schemes, could I ask, was all the money given for in terms of those schemes last year? Was there any surplus in those funds? And given that we've decided to add to the fund this year?
So the 50,000 on the Irish Language Financial Assistance Scheme wasn't really spent in this year. It was discussed at FCNR that this was the first year of many of our financial assistance schemes. It probably potentially wasn't promoted, and what we would see in other financial assistance schemes as well as you would be a number of years before you would fully maybe expend that. What I would say as well with regard to that money was allocated out last year during the rates process, was allocated out of the overall financial assistance scheme. So it was already it wasn't additional money in the budget last year, which we met from about the overall pot. The 30,000, as I said previously, was oversubscribed, so it was fully spent this year, and there is a waiting list already, which was where the decision arose to increase it for next year. I think it's also clear in the minutes, yes, that you would use the DEA for it, except for next year, to promote the financial assistance scheme.
And
trying to get the
uptake
more heavily
and
going forward
with that one. Just to point out, I do have concerns in this increase, particularly on the vote, wasn't an uptake on the last year, but I think there is a relevant issue that has been raised by numerous politicians here tonight, and that's about the fact that there isn't any way of support offered to British humanist culture in terms of this council, in terms of financial assistance. Really, at this stage, the services, and I'm sorry to say that, but that's reality. We have had discussions with senior officials on this issue on numerous occasions during the lifetime of this council. And apart from saying we'll discuss it at some point, we'll bring it forward to anybody, it never happens. I'm certainly fed up on this because it's clear that there is an inequality here. And I'm not looking to deny anybody the opportunity to express their culture, whether it be the Irish language, whatever it may be. But what I look for is some clarity of seeing this, and I don't see this happening. We are denied the same opportunities to seek financial assistance in terms of expression of culture. Really, I'm disappointed to say this lip service is fed by senior officials, and we feel that I represent this, because we have a situation at the moment where we are getting feedback from the humanist community that said, really, what do you have to offer us as a council? It's very difficult for me to come out and cross, but it is possible at times, because it isn't happening. What we're seeing is here, clear bias here towards one type of culture or another. That's not good enough. And really, whilst we are near the end of the lifetime of this council, there's something moving forward that we need to take seriously. It is causing difficulties and problems regarding the perception of this council to the genius community.
Yes,
it is worth highlighting that the budget for next we are talking about a language, this comes from a language strategy. There has, in my own director, Corporate Services Director of Business Plan, you'll be aware that we have an objective this year to get past a minority and other languages strategy for council, and we're bringing a paper to the Good Relations Forum on Friday of this week in that regard. Now, I know there have been expressions saying about culture. This is not about culture, this is about language.
Sorry,
Chair.
Sorry,
Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Sorry
applications from that area, and workshops, etc., were carried out, and there has been an increase in engagement from identifying the released applications from that area. Now, the councillors here represent everyone. I think all the councillors here work for everybody in the ground, and I think that we are working towards dealing with some of the frustrations that the unionist and the team have made. But you know, we are working at the same time, we're not making some fair. And I think that the new relations forum that set up to deal with these issues and given space to time to deal with it. Those concerns will be addressed, not just the unions community, the government authorities in this area. But you're inviting those councils. I welcome the additional funding for the first people because I think it's very important for those young people that I represent in the comments. And I have no hesitation in supporting what we've put forward tonight. But what I would suggest, the unions community will say, if there are expressions of our culture, and for example, the Ulster Scots Centre, look at setting up a working group within the council to do it. I've heard members from Sinn Féin and other parties asking unions to come forward with those proposals. Nobody in this chamber is blocking that. I'm blocking expressions of culture. I'm trying to work towards a position whereby everybody in this chamber fits in. And I think that if any of the comments made tonight are justified based on my experience in the short time.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks, I was Chair. I've been listening to the meeting that the proposals were made. You know, I did found that meeting's previous in relation to the Braille Irish Sign Language, minority languages and other jobs. I was assured that the paper would be in the process. In fact, I was told to ask that the paper was going to be presented to the Good Relations Forum, and I'm more than delighted that it's going to that body of various releases. And my previous experience at the Good Relations Forum as a member for 2 or 3 years, that's a perfect forum to sit down to throw it on the table and that opinion. So I'm glad that work is now in progress.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor McIntyre. Yeah, obviously, the Good Relations Forum needs input, the sincerity around that in the room as well. Because when we talk about the good language that we're inside that room, we're outside the end of the start of the size of the position, it's not a listening to me. And, you know, if Councillor Walker, et cetera, you know, wants to consider what they raised here in a non-nefarious and dubious manner, then, you know, you should come to this council and listen to the reasons and the denials of whatever aspects of your culture that you have witnessed and seen. The other one problem with this about, you list them out here probably, are in that good relationship. I know somewhere around that has happened. I doubt anything. Providing this is all product that involves the media. The chief level of straight to the bar, I think, something. I sat at Ulster Scots Committee, the old Erie Council. And it actually ran out of steam. It didn't run out of steam because I, as a parish, as a Republican, sat there. It ran out of steam because it ran out of ideas.
Yes. Order, order, please.
Republican being took up.
Order, please.
But we sat there and we tried our best to run into the ground with a lack of ideas coming from that particular sector. It wasn't any fault of that kind of those councillors. So, and all really is happening tonight is we're giving justification. Someone mentioned earlier on that the Irish language around the same thing happens. So all we're doing really, folks, is giving justification to those people who are neighbours and working directories at a greater cost than probably 30,000 systems. You know, and I'm very disappointed in that level of political operation. That's all they have managed to come up with.
Chair, I'll just express concern.
Sorry, Councillor Riley.
Chairman, I support Councillor Warren's group, and the way he has an awesome service. It's been absolutely shameful the way that the non Gaelic community has been discriminated against consistently and mindfully deliberately. There's been a policy of denying equality and respect. There's a deliberate policy on the part of some to try and demean and humiliate non-Gaels on this council. And, you know, how do we quantify the value of this considerable amount of money that's been spent? How does it, you know, how do you come back to the council and say, we delivered, at this point, delivered AD and C. It's been worked away. It's been a success. It's impossible to quantify. So really what we're doing is we're giving money over to the bodies that we don't know really that much about. Could we even get that information? Who provides the training course? Where have the people come from to attend them? You know, even by postcode, you know, to see where the bulk of the people who attend these courses come from. And in terms of the Ulster Scots Commitment and the Old Council, it did become that same. It actually pumped around several organisations that are still going very strong yet and do it on their own behalf because this council won't give them a cold shell. And that's the fact of it. And whenever the report was brought back on the funding for the Irish language, it was specifically stated in that report that Ulster Scots, or all of us, this is a proper name, wouldn't be considered. And here we are a year later, and we still have nothing to show for it whatsoever. Absolutely nothing. Whenever we ask for a few time rank events for the Orange Order, why don't they or not? It's still because of our organization. We were told in very straight terms, no, you're not getting anything. And that's the way we're treated. So I would like to know how the value of these bursaries are quantified and a breakdown of the areas where the applicants are coming from. Who provides the actual courses?
In your papers.
Who provides the actual courses? The chairman, Brian, can say, SDLP, I'm simply in all my committee business in this council. It's not my fault. But the thing is, this is the only opportunity I get to ask a question. I'm sure people in all sales can.
If you're in your papers, you get all the
information. Very strong information. We want properly presented information for this council.
Henry, do you want to listen to your answer?
Thanks, sir. I have the papers sent on you. We provided information to FDNR 24 and all the schools and institutions used. We have brought back an update on where the funding is. Not by postcode, but by DEA area, so I can get all of that to you. I'll be consistent with all the financial assistance teams who provide the update on DEA basis. I can forward that paper to you.
Thanks. Councillor Byrne.
Councillor
Byrne.
It was proposed to the here today that we ring fence an amount of money for olives in the Orange Order.
Clear requests about a number of months ago brought a number Council for the Borscher Scheme and the Council Assistance. We sit as a committee on the open those requests, and we can do that with any group if they sit down and bring their requests to this council. It's not good enough to sit and say, listen, we get nothing, without asking the question, what specifically are you looking for? Because all we hear is, oh, we don't get toilets up in Valley Inch whenever there's festival. We don't get toilets. We don't get toilets across the then when we have a Halloween festival or Christmas festival. So let's put down tangible requests, because the Irish Language Group came with tangible requests, and we acted on those three committees. I chair a youth club in Ross, and I'm finishing this point, and there's an Irish Language group in Ross, run by one of the members of the council here that runs the group in Ross. And it is not, we need to dismiss the day, because there's a number of youth from Eastern Europe that live in and around South Armagh, they go to that group. And they go to it because they love language. And I discuss with them on a Friday night, meet every Friday night, and they take part because they love learning new languages. So we have to dismiss that this is Irish nationalists, Irish speaking people, because it's simply not. It brings the debate down into the corner. And what we need to do with good relations on Friday, what we need to do with good relations on Friday is bring tangible requests, because we're going to get time and time again. Real give them justice to our community and not for us. We bring up the tangible requests, you have to simple as that.
Can I give a transfer? Councillor McMurray. Sir Henry and the team have got 3 points to make, so I'll not be terribly long. I do recognise the issues raised by the unionist here, although with that said, recognise the issues being raised, I don't necessarily recognise the tone in which they're raised, because I think this is something that has been and is in the process of being worked through the Equality of Youth Relations committee. But yes, it seems fairly apparent that the Irish language has been used, unfortunately, to drive wedges between us whenever actually. It probably is one of the few areas of a certain commonality to us, which is, again, speaking from my own family and my own children who are both, and my wife as well, they've both been up here with the Irish language. It's a shame that it's sort of going down this road. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would just like to say that given how long this council has been on, 2014, 2013, whatever, Kenny doesn't have his time to communicate his right, and that's understandable, but that does not exclude him from attending any committee meeting. Excuse me, Councillor Redding. Have a bit of respect. Not only for yourself, but the people that you represent. But they don't think they actually spend
time. I represent the people. You have no say in them.
Right.
Sir,
can you
explain what this is about?
we refer to the
another example of the...
Are you going to apologize to Councillor?
You have the community. Father Caden, stop against it. What's going on here, Chairman?
Are you going to apologize to Councillor Patrick?
Chairman,
I'm sorry. Are you going to answer my question?
What's going on?
Are you going to apologize to Councillor Patrick?
Apologize for what?
For referring to her as a Nazi.
Yes. I said that's a Nazi salute.
No, you didn't.
If I upset the Councillor, I have profusely apologized.
No, don't say if.
And anybody that attends that tribulation knows I have had my concerns. I've raised it. Yeah. I was angry at the last meeting whenever I was going out and that hour, and I said I wasn't happy with aspects of it in relation to functioning that. So for the implied that we're sitting there all happy, go lucky and happy, it's wrong. It's wrong. I voice my concerns.
Your concerns don't matter to the Councillor Jenner.
Councillor Gordon, this doesn't accept that we have concerns.
Councillor Riley, can you please be quiet?
Chair, thank you very much. I want to say this. As a 28-year-old, as someone who is seen as possibly one of the next generations, I guess we're at the level of conversation in this community. The way people try to vilify sex in this community and try to scoop up sectarianism, it is disgraceful. We should be leaders in our community. We should not be seeking to put wedges in between us. We should be seeking to engage each other. I think there's another question that I understand, and I fully take them on board, and David, I think you presented them in the best way possible, in a simple way, in a way that we should all be listening to them. You know, we should try and listen to you. This is about Irish language, yes. Irish language does not automatically mean Irish nationalism. Irish language is a language that is being spoken in this country, north and south. Okay? English is being spoken in the north. Unfortunately, Irish for years has been demonised through archaic laws, and so in the centuries, people have spoken of being persecuted. I think Christians of old, so if you want to start going this way, if you want to start going that way, we'll go down through a whole history field here about how people have been persecuted over the centuries. We can do that, run right in circles. Let's see the way it is.
But the language. It's not great, a great wrong is that the British perpetrated against the real side.
In this chamber, we should be leaders. We should not be trying to rile the people up outside. We should not be trying to create these
things. Councillor Sam, give me a point of order. You've been in the court up here. Right? You've been breaking
your system in this chamber. When you press a button, the light goes on. And when the red light comes on, you speak. And I kindly ask Councillor Reddy to respect the procedures of this chamber. It's not bothering around the place.
Well,
it
can't
be. We could all go the whole debate. The bottom line is, there's some excellent work that's done in this chamber.
From the start of the things, we have some people who are against this item on the policy. So for clarity, can we get agreement that we can proceed? Are there objections to to that recommendation?
I'm objecting to the recommendation.
Okay, we'll put this recommendation to a vote then.
The board of vote.
The board of vote.
Hey, Thank you very much, Chair. I have been asked here by the residents of Clapperay to again speak to them about their bus shelter. I think at this stage we all know the history of this shelter well and truly. The request was made, all the appropriate procedures were followed. That followed on by councillors within this chamber acting in a disgraceful manner and accusing officials of lying to residents. We had the shelter partially erected, and this chamber voted against the community to remove the shelter. They were then promised that they were indeed going to get two shelters, not one. How lucky are they? Two shelters. So there was a public meeting, and I know Kevin came to the public meeting, and it was very clear what the community wanted. However, the community, their wishes have not been listened to. So there were two sites looked at. One which the community said, we don't want this, we want the shelter back where it was originally supposed to go. The second site, there were two people who said they wanted it and two people who said they didn't. One of the people that said they didn't want it are the representatives from the Kids' Own Playgroup, which represents 40 plus families from the community, who have all been in contact with me, and indeed I know they have been trying to contact other councillors, and certainly on Friday past no one has come back to them. But I have been down with them on several occasions, and they have very serious concerns regarding the safety of the children and their families accessing that facility. They have said that a bus shelter was never requested by the community there, which is a fact. And they have asked that I come to this meeting tonight to say that they do not want that bus shelter, that the community was very clear in their wishes. But unfortunately, it seems to be the case that we're just going to put bus shelters together. It doesn't matter if we need them, we want them, we stick it up anywhere. It's a piece of appeasement to the people. The community of Clapperay still have no bus shelter. That's the bottom line. It's an ageing community, and there are people there in their 70s, 80s, and indeed one woman who is 91, and as she said, you know, it's a bit like, which you use the Murray term, it's a bit like telling the people in Derry Bay to go see a bus shelter, there's one in the middle. She's not walking to another housing development to get into a bus shelter. So they have asked that this council does not erect a bus shelter where they have genuine fears about the safety of children. Now, we all know that road service will say, although we don't have any issue with that. That didn't wash with road service and transit, and the PSMI had no issue with the last one. We are inundated all the time with people from schools, playgroups, community hubs, asking us to get traffic calming measurements in place for road safety. What is this council doing? We're going to stick a bus shelter. That's what we're going to do. We're going to stick up a bus shelter. It's never requested. Had the people of Oak Close, which is a brand new housing development, come to me at any stage of the bus shelter, I would have been the first person to put the request in. Of course, the people of Clapperay, they haven't got their bus shelter. And SDLP Council promised them to. Where are they? Sure. They don't want it at Oak Close.
Councillor Riley.
I don't recommend Councillor Mulgrew's version of events, but apparently some of the actions Councillor will acknowledge. I think the question I would have, this is so important and so critical, as Councillor Mulgrew has said, is she not speaking to any of our colleagues? The committee in question is chaired by Sinn Féin Councillor. The Vice Chair is a Sinn Féin Councillor. The Sinn Féin Party leader on the council, Councillor Rann, is on the committee. It only was a couple of weeks ago. I was there at the meeting. The only thing got in Councillor attendance was Councillor Taylor. I took the time to speak to my party colleagues in there. I also rang, and I'm sure the director will confirm the rang on to get some information on the day. I thought the best informed decision. Now, Bruce telling me that there's safety concerns. I certainly, like any councillor, would willing to take a vote. I'll tell you what I'm not doing, Chair. I hope this is not a ruse for Councillor McGrew, who seems to have some kind of issue with a resident out there who this council got together and defended a vulnerable love. And you know, it's terrible this has been done over here. It really is. How many times has this been happened? But I think it speaks volumes, Chair. It's clear. Councillor is on a solo run from her own party, to her own party, Cheney would support her at the committee.
Councillor Gordon?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And on a similar note to Councillor Schultz, you know, we were talking about this since being in the chamber a number of times. And Councillor Gordon had an election across the chamber of the process. And through the process, we thought that it was the public meeting that was a short notice kind of called. I think it was 48 hours, short notice. Attended and it came to the committee, and it's down to the chamber here again to make a big, you know, across social media, you know, ready to put up the community against each other. The open statement from Councillor McGrew is, I have been asked by members of Clarkwood. Well, we have been asked by members of Clarkwood too. You know, as Gary says, you know, some objections are held higher than other objections. We talked about safety concerns. The original DLC post up. We talked about safety concerns because of Carriage Park both sides of the road. The bus had changed, the bus stop was moved. It didn't come back down this year because of traffic both sides of the road. That was dismissed outright by Councillor Hunter with one race, who now brings up the issue of Carriage Park both sides of the road. So, you know, she, you know, uses her arguments for the first bus stop in order to back up her arguments for the second bus stop. They also say, you know, you speak for the residents of Clark Rave. This is the first petition that we named. This is as long as it's gone. This is the very first petition that these are signed by people in Clark Rave themselves, their own signatures. 26, 28, 46, 57, you can go on. There's 28 signatures there. 28 people on the map that objected to the bus stop on that site. Now we can go through the process and say, listen, it should have been on the sheet individually. That's irrelevant. We cannot dismiss these people's concerns outright and then take a poll that Councillor McGrew had carried out before the public meeting on the doors and then state that that is the wishes of the residents. So horse survey trumps the survey of a vulnerable family there that carried out in their own interest. I don't buy that. I don't think it's acceptable. And also, in the public meeting, it was very clear what the community wanted. It wasn't clear what the community wanted. I sat in that public meeting. And I spoke for 15 minutes on my position to defend the position that I had taken with people sitting alongside me that I was speaking for. There were a number of people in the room that agreed with that. A number of people that would agree with that. So we either follow process or we don't follow process. You know, what are the genuine fears of them people? We have accusations or remarks actually on social media that I will get the bus stop installed by the Switzerland site. No councillor can go jump through the process here. And disregard the wishes of some residents there just for our own gain. I think it's disgraceful. There is a need for a bus shelter to push up and incorporate. If the two sites that were proposed before it came to committee meeting and the last and back had issues, why not sign them out at the time? Why let them two sites go away for consultation and then try and make a sign with that? You know, you always hear a statement about treating all each other equally. It's about time we that people actually lived up to that and stop torturing the family. When does the human element come into this? Never mind, I made five remarks at that public meeting on transport and I. Sorry, not that I'm
out
of the point. I never speak up for people. And not for them, not for incidents too, okay? So, not that I'm out of the I made 5 points. One of those points, and the last one that I gave up, is I do not want to bring this family into this. The last idea from is the human element of this. And it has been disregarded. It is an absolute shame, this race. And just for the record, for the fifth time, and let this thing in, I did not accuse officials of lying, I accused officials of misleading. There's a clear difference now, but I'll tell you the difference. The difference is, if you lie, you know you're lying. Misleading, you might have the right information, but you've given misleading information. And I stand by that remark.
Can I clarify a
couple
of things
at the end of the
speech,
sir?
He might be put in for 2 hours, doesn't he?
Yeah,
and
I'm
not going to have a different
side of it. Right, okay.
Chair, that was signed back in my brief. It has been said, needs to be said, but what I would say is,
it's quite unfortunate the way this election has turned out. Because we have been trying to represent people's concerns in a genuine manner. And unfortunately, you know, I'm quite sorry to say it, but the council really has caused, you know, really tried to, you know, heighten tensions on this within the community. And, you know, I see it in the Facebook profile, which we're trying to encourage people to phone us, who would tell us to do this and do that. I'd say I've never received one call. In fact, I look at it, I've received one call and that's to thank us for the role we've undertaken on this issue. But there's no calls to tell me to change the decision or change any issue on this. What I would say is nobody is trying to deny anybody in Clubway to fire a bus stop. I want to see a bus stop in that issue in that area as well. But I think we should all work together in a productive manner to try and find a solution to this rather than trying to say, I want to take all attitude towards it, because that's all the things to be able to. Because we had a genuine concern raised by a resident that doesn't seem to want to be considered by some parties in this council. And there's other concerns raised today were given precedence. I want to find a solution to this that ensures that Clubway Park does get a bus stop. But we have to keep the concerns on board that has been raised. And I think we should all work productively. And that means that involves all parties to find a resolution to this that accommodates all the concerns that are there. But I think it's just been very faithful to this is all in about. And we've been here constantly meeting with third or depending on this issue has been discussed. And I want to find a solution to it that's acceptable to everybody, not a winner takes all attitude.
Just point to clarity, Chairperson, the only person that named any individual as being Councillor Gordon, he referred to a survey. I've never done a survey to operate. I presume he's talking about the survey that was carried out by the youth group, which had 153 signatures supporting that the bus shelter stay in the site that it was originally. That has absolutely nothing to do with me. R&D's my target. So that's for clarity. In terms of using the word lie, unfortunately, and it is unfortunately because it falls so far short of the conduct that is expected of a councillor. There are minutes from the meeting where it is said several times that Councillor Gordon accused officials of lying. And I will leave it there.
Are you going against this recommendation?
Yes. I've been asked by the particularly by Play Zone, Play Group, and I have been down there twice at 5 to 9 in the morning, and at 12 o'clock, and at 2 o'clock, and at 3 o'clock, to look at the traffic problems whenever families are dropping off their children, and to try and address their very grave concerns, and they have asked me to object to the siting of this bus shelter. It is not the appropriate site. So I would be against the proposal.
Okay, I'm going to put this recommendation to the vote then, please. Those for the recommendation? Show of hands. Those against? Councillor Trainer.
I'm sorry, Chair. I paid you that for this public microphone just because mine is operating with us. So, Chair, the point I want to raise is on the car park review update. And I just want to maybe go back to in August of this year when we had our RDS in August. It was first brought to the committee about the report. We have a consultation with the public and certainly other stakeholders. Now, I have no issue with the proposed dates or the venues, or I have an issue with it, is that it's specifically targeting traders and businesses only. So again, I'm going to go back to maybe a point that Henry raised around that whole idea of using the website, using Facebook and social media for consultation through the council. So for a lot of the people in this district, they don't necessarily use online, they don't use social media. They might be able to even access our council facilities at times. So for those other people, you know, it becomes extremely hard for them to air their views regarding the actual car park review. And this was a point that was raised at August's meeting. The point was raised, it wasn't just raised by myself, it was raised by other councillors at that meeting around the accessibility then for people to be able to take part in this consultation.
And again, and I can see that it's going to be hard to change that now because there's a date this week or tomorrow, it's in Downpatrick obviously, so in Downpatrick tomorrow there's going to be a consultation which you can hold the public at the time. So people in Downpatrick are going to miss out unless this council makes a decision now that we have a public consultation rather than just saying that we're going to review this in the service just for the businesses in the town centre but not actually engaging the public outside of the businesses. You know, so I suppose the point I'm trying to make is that it's not good enough. You know, it was raised back in August. We couldn't have a meeting in September, obviously, because of the weather conditions that were there. And now we're October, we've said okay to this process. And that's October's meeting, these obviously, we come through tonight, and then we're going out tomorrow. That hasn't really given a lot of time to cross the train and, you know, to turn this around to actually make it more inclusive for the public. So I would actually be looking maybe at the funds then that we actually go to public events as well, not just for the business and students, but for the actual public engagement. And that was the whole point of this. The whole point of this was how it's impacting not just the businesses and the residents of the town centres. And anyway, you from a down public perspective here, I don't know very much. I know that the joint pay and the car parks are ordinary, but I don't have non local enough to the issue. But in down public, I certainly am. And it isn't something that just impacts on the businesses there, but it impacts on local residents because of where some of our pay and display car parks are situated. And the example I'll give is Scott Street and Church Street car parks are directly beside Saul Street, even on Saul Road. Now, anyone who knows that topic session can know that there's already a number of people who park in those areas to use the bus services to get to Belfast. And whenever the car parking, whenever the prices went up in the car parks, I certainly found myself inundated with calls and correspondence from residents in that area about an increase to the amount of on-street parking in those residential areas. So, you know, this has had a wider impact than just the businesses, and that's the point that I raised at that meeting. It's a point raised again now. I'm just saying, is there a way forward we can actually engage those people rather than saying the only way you can engage is online or, you know, by going to a council building and lifting an application form? Is there any way of actually getting a public engagement for those people?
Sure. The public engagement has been offered by the online user survey. And then to facilitate through to that internet access, the printed version of all council premises, it's not just our own council offices, it's our leisure centres, etc. So I would suggest that we allow that process to conclude, and to see that we don't have a high enough engagement with the public, that we review that and if necessary, we can arrange a session, particularly in Downpatrick Community, where the primary office will be. But I would suggest Let's see how many we get by this response. We've obviously got social media encouraging and people out on responding. I think we can make it in the cell phone. So the interaction is there, and I would suggest to members that we allow that process to follow through. And if we don't get enough engagement, then we can certainly look at it. You referred to the issue that we have that people are raising with people moving from car parks to the on street. As a result of not wanting to pay when they're going to a scenario of park and ride. That's a wholly different issue than a paid car permit. Park and ride is an issue that is becoming something of a concern right across the district, and that's something we need to look at. I would suggest, in tangent with the secretary, we can't make a judgment on our parking costs as a result of park and ride. At the end of the day, the aim of the council is to try and get the car park speed up to allow retail shoppers to go in and shop in the town centre. So I would suggest that's a different issue, but we do have that facility for the public to engage.
Yes, sir,
Riley. Yeah, Chairman, I just want to make a statement that it shouldn't be in the ministry of people that might come out of these miscounts. So I believe we're on the
right.
For a councillor to try and make right of that and to suggest the right of the financial gain before they're representing my people, I think that is a disgusting slap in the terms. And I'm leaving this statement now, and she needs to think very, very seriously about what she's saying and what she's doing in this chamber. That's a disgrace,
Chairman.
SELP shouldn't be in game at my expense, rolling. And I think that's what she's all about now. She's trying to cover her tracks. It's not working.
Did you turn your light off? Yes.
What's your mic here?
Yes, Steve, you have the pages of four. Yeah, it's part of the DMA week's paper. They asked the committee council, I don't know who the mayor from DMA was, from the 27th of September, they do things, if it wasn't on the permanent paper, I think we should put an answer next year, given the time we have, we believe in the last week, DMA rules start, we're still out to grade on the floor, I believe it's we write write to them about it next year.
I
So then we have a piece of correspondence here from the Department of Access in the European Union. So we'll take you through that.
Again, Sharon, this is one of these correspondence that was read was one of the actions coming out of the minutes of the meeting. Chairman, a very fulsome reply there from the Committee in regard to the European exit and backstop arrangements. Chairman, step members read themselves.
Okay, folks, thank you very much.
No, leave some room. Sorry. Sorry.
Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry.
Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry.
Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, the motion reads, this council recommends the high levels of people living with autism, learning difficulties and communication barriers in the district and commends those groups who work to support them. It proposes that the council sets an example by having staff and facilities become jam car friendly and encourages local businesses and towns and villages to do the same. So I'm just very briefly going to give a quick background of what the jam car is and what's it about. Right. The Jam Card is an initiative of the Now Group, a social enterprise that supports people with learning difficulties and autism into jobs for the future. The Now Group aimed to increase people's independence, and it was their participants who mentioned to me from a discreet way of telling people that they may need a little extra time when counting out change or ordering food at the counter. Now Group got the participants together with a graphic designer and came up with the Jam Card. The participants were clear that they wanted something that was simple and discreet, so they chose a credit card sized card that says just a minute on one side and please be patient, I have a learning difficulty on the other side. Some Jam Card users mentioned they would like to have it available on their phones, so the Now Group have created the Jam Card app. The Jam Card app is now available for people with any form of communication difficulty, including learning difficulty, autism, dementia, anxiety, or brain injury. Users simply discreetly show the card app to indicate that they may need a little extra time. App users can then rate their experience of the business. There are now over 12,000 people using the Jam Card across Northern Ireland and beyond. Feedback from users show that they feel more confident and less anxious accessing services when they have their Jam Card with them. However, users do like to know staff and businesses know what the card is for and how it works, how to work with users, which is why we're now creating a tool for businesses. 8 of the 11 councils, SFE Arena, TransLink, NIE, Networks, Consumer Council, and many other businesses have demonstrated their commitment to inclusion and become Jam Card friendly. We're also looking at trying to promote the Jam Card in different schools around South Armagh, and we're just happy to make the proposal.
Thank you. Can
we
get a second
for
that?
Councillor Long.
Congratulate Councillor O'Mara for bringing forward the motion. I think it's a great initiative. And also, Unionist Party, we have already introduced it into some of our constituency offices and indeed our headquarters as well. So it's something to be welcomed, and I certainly, on behalf of the Unionist Party group in here, will be supporting the motion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor
Stokes?
Yeah, just to
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so now we've noticed the motion received from Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just to read the motion under the record as follows, is that Newry Moreland District Council acknowledges the Joint Mercury and Motor Neural Disease Association campaign, highlighting deep concern about the impact of the current condition of terminal illness, use of eligibility for benefits, including no personal independence payments in Northern Ireland. Pension ownership HIP has special rules for applicants with terminal illnesses, which allows people to access payments quicker from their face-to-face assessments. However, this avenue is only open for those who have been given a prognosis of 6 months or less. This restriction is unfair, excluding many people with terminal illnesses, including those with motor neural disease, chronic heart failure, COPD, as they fail to access HIP under these special rules, meaning they have to wait much longer for the payments and undergo face-to-face assessments. This council affirms that this is unfair and denies people the best quality of life during the 10th day of life. And we call upon the Secretary of State, the Right Honourable Karen Bradley MP, to follow the lead of the Scottish Government and implement the call from Marie Curie and the MND Association for a fair designation of terminal illnesses that is based on clinical judgment and patient need and not a time restricted estimation of life expectancy. In moving tonight's motion, the whole wording simply sums everything up. And I'm aware that Marie Curie and the Motor Neural Disease Association are campaigning to reform the terminal illness rules under PIP. And having worked with MLAs and the government to raise awareness of the issues terminally ill people face and have to go through when applying for the benefit. As we all know, there are special rules for terminal illnesses that people can apply for and will be exempt from. Your disability of actually and not face an assessment and process quicker than through the record change. The average clearance period for the special rules is 2 weeks and only 12 weeks on your normal claim. I believe that for many terminal illnesses, particularly non-cancer conditions like motor neuron disease, chronic heart failure, COPD, the time you put a time to and predict the prognosis can be difficult because of the unpredictability. I know this council recently backed a motion in recent motor neuron disease about the charter which enshrines the rights and priorities of people with MND and their carers and loved ones. But with MND, a lot of people die within a year, more than half within 2 years. Acute heart failure, there are 30-40% of people die within a year. And the main thrust of this motion is to call for and make a case for a fair, more compassionate system. A fair definition of what is terminal illness that is based on clinical judgment and patient need, not a time-restricted estimation which would resemble a tick-box exercise. And this approach that was adopted by the Scottish Government, and by doing the same, this will allow many with terminal illnesses to accept payments quickly and support them to have a better quality of life during the time of the episode, and bypass and avoid long delays and intrusive assessment processes that are associated with
the motion. Thank you, Councillor Andrews, which is seconded. Councillor Bevan.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. I'm happy to second this motion, but it is such a shame that we have an issue that's such a discussion highlighted. Surely the issues need to be given. Forcing someone with a terminally ill diagnosis through a process is not in shelter's space. For those of us who work on the front line, we know how degrading and drawn out the process can be. To subject somebody who is terminally ill to question if the onus of that person provides evidence of their illness is unspeakable. It is our former MP, Eddie McGarry, who ensured the DLA process has a special release tick box, which is for anyone with a terminal diagnosis. They didn't need to complete the full form, and their application was subsequently fast tracked. This issue has progressed, and the rules changed by using the example of a lady who was terminally ill in Castlewellan. Eddie and me worked together, ensuring that there was no such 6 months rule then, and there should be one now. This is another clear example of how harsh this welfare reform process is. Someone who is dying, no matter if it's within 7 months or 3 years, should be able to do so without worrying about the price of oil or the basic cost of living. They should be nurtured and supported in the time they have left. Government should be listening to Alexis Marie Curie and the Motor Neuron Disease Association, who do absolutely outstanding work on the ground. If we have functional therapy, Chair, and these are the changes that could be made, changes would be life changing for those with a terminal diagnosis, but unfortunately don't.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah.
Chair, this would be an obvious thing. There's an amendment from England forward. And quite honestly, it's an absolute disgrace. This hasn't been done before and then before. It should never be a crisis. No sort of ideas as well. How does this work?
Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. The Ulster Unionist Party will be supporting the motion. We thank Councillor Adams for this issue. To the Council Chamber tonight, our senior representatives from our party met with the Mary Curie and MND Association last week to discuss this issue. And we certainly believe a fair and more compassionate PIP system for terminally ill people should be implemented in Northern Ireland. We would certainly encourage the Secretary of State to take the necessary steps in the absence of an executive to ensure that that happens. So, we're very happy to support the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Kimmins?
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, on behalf of Sinn Féin, we are happy to support the motion. And I think, it's good to see that the list of different illnesses there, particularly like the COPD and things like that, which other people don't always realise is a terminal illness as well. And I think, one of the things that's come out of that process is a lot of people who were given that lifetime award of ALA, when it was ALA, are still not being asked to go through that process, which is a humiliating process. And I know I don't think there's too many people in here whose own families, including me, haven't been affected by this. So, really, thanks to Trent Champions for bringing this forward.
Councillor McMurray?
Yeah, again, happy to support. And yeah, moving what I was agreeing with this is again, the working of this out is just further evidence of the hostile environment for Logan Wilder that the Conservative government's created. So any way that this can chip away at is good and welcome, and we have to support. Thank you.
Okay. Everybody in agreement with Councillor Andrew's motion then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead then.
Well, then, wait, look, I'd like to thank everybody who supported the motion tonight and reached the PIPs. PIPs that we all know, along with Unifor Personal Credit, are at the core of the Tory government's flagship welfare reforms. The very own version of Robin Hood. Robin for the poor, the vulnerable and the sick, easy pickings and soft targets for the rich. This flagship is now listed slowly and surely in its hold below the line. Court cases have overturned the DW Department of Works and Pensions decisions in favour of the sick and those with mental health issues as well. That is summed up that it is discriminatory, unfair, mean, respectful and degrading to one and all who need help and support the most. 1,600,000 claims are to be told individually to see if claimants are discriminated against on that path, etc. The assessment process is a big cause of big concern too, and the government to this day is still operating under illegal, flawed legislation. Homelessness, poverty, is all on the increase. Food banks is becoming more busy. The appeal system is now clogged up like it won forever and a day. But again, listening to the various contributions tonight are very heartening, very welcome, and I appreciate the enormous support of Council. And thanks everybody for this.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. So now we've got a note of motion received from Councillor Loughlin.
Thank you, Chair. I just read the motion. With this Council acknowledge and applaud the contribution the curriculum and sports programme that made to the emotional health and physical well-being of our primary school since it was introduced in 2007, and request that this Council write to the Department of Education expressing our concerns and disappointment that funding is no longer available, and calling for the reinstatement of the funding to this essential programme in which 3,600 pupils from 400 primary schools benefit on an annual basis. That's the motion, Chair. I'd just like to add, after a year on the track, the Department of Education has done the club on the curriculum and sports programme. In the last decade, thousands of school children across the North benefit from coaching delivered by Ulster GAA and the IFA. The action of this award-winning programme doesn't only impact access to sport for the primary school children, but will also impact their emotional health and physical well-being. This is a devastating blow for our school children and to those whose jobs are now at risk. The Department is fully aware of the benefits of this programme has for our young children. And if this motion is supported, we will add our Council's voice to the call for this funding to be reinstated. This coaching programme offers so much more than support to children. It encourages maintaining an active lifestyle which fosters complete interest, mental health, as well as emotion and character development. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Loughran. Councillor Tenner, you second?
Second, Chair, yes. It's an act that, first of all, I can say that we have to commend the coaches that do such a great job with the many thousands of young people across the north, across the different schools. The first thing to say really about this is that, and it's really missed sometimes when we talk about education, unfortunately, seems to always be seen as academic achievement. However, it's much more than academic achievement. I think Professor Rockers said it very perfectly there. It's also about the character development and personal development of a young person. This programme wasn't best in young people. At a time of their lives where it's integral, it's important for their development. The physical development of young people, as we know, it's extremely important when they're growing up. The more that they are engaged at a younger age, the more likely they are to get active, the more likely they are to be involved in sports clubs, which then bring with it a whole new dimension of socialising, of learning norms, developing morals, beliefs, values, developing teamwork, commitment, different sort of values that make you as a person, unique individual, but also part of something greater. I despair at this cup. I totally despair at this cup. Again, we're facing an issue that could have been solved in previous years in Stormont through monitoring rounds. Unfortunately, because we have no Stormont, we can't do that. We can't fight for that. So now we have to call on the Secretary of State. A Secretary of State who, as we all know, has really no knowledge of the North. We're dependent on civil servants who, and I don't like doing this, but civil servants are there to balance the books. They're not there to necessarily look out for the individual needs of every single young person, which this programme seeks to do. So maybe in finishing my second of it, it's an important programme that we need to campaign hard for. It's an important programme for young people. It's a great investment in young people. And investing in young people at this phase of their lives to promote that sort of health and well-being will help reduce the risks, even looking at the health in the future. So reducing the risks for medical conditions, serious medical conditions. So it's not just beneficial for them. There's also an added benefit then to the whole system. If you reduce the risks for medical conditions, you're reducing the number of people who have to go to the hospital, so you're reducing the amount of money that has to be spent then further down the line. And that's a very sad way of having to finish up looking at it, but that's the way we're looking at it. We have to look at prevention things, right? We need to look at how we can encourage people to lead different lifestyles that will help them further in life rather than lead them into deteriorating medical therapy. And so just I'll finish up with that, sure.
Thank you. Councillor Hart.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, thank you, Councillor Rockley, for bringing the motion to the stadium with us. Motion. When you read through, as we've done some research on it, and read through the programme objectives, I mean, not particularly unbelievable, what is it set out to do? Coaches 27 IMA, coaches 24 GAA, coaches as well, which is amazing.
Surveys, yes, that only 4.5% of primary school children get access to 2 or more hours of PE in schools that they're recommended. And you take this in conjunction with the recommendation that children and young people should engage at least 60 minutes of moderate to vigorous intensity physical activity every day for 7 days. You know, we can see we're well short of that. And actually, working out of that are that Northern Ireland has the highest percentage of overweight and obese 14-year-olds. So I think things that come back on that are it's going to be a long health term issue. Schools is being cut, and that's cut right across the board. We've seen it cut in the outdoor education sector, we've seen it cut down in the schools, and it's how the experiences that the children get
through activities, and it's academically research proven that by taking part in the connections that two teachers and pupils make in playing sports and outdoor activities and any sort of activity like that, actually does have a beneficial academic improvement. And that informed decisions are incredibly important, and how we structure this to allow teachers to develop that as well. I think it's something to do with that. But certainly in the mental health and the physical well-being, there certainly must be able to get work on this. And it's not exactly what the numbers across the departmental issues, but justice, health, and education. Really a shocking short sighted decision to cut this. So, Alliance are very, very happy to support this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McBride. Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. I want to begin also by thanking Jake for bringing forward this motion to the Council Taylor tonight. It is extremely disappointing that the Department of Education has decided to withdraw support for this programme. It's clear that this sports programme draws both physical and mental health well-being benefits to children. It just further stresses the crisis that education finds itself in at present from a financial point of view. I would say too that, you know, I would be critical of the Department of Education as well from the point of view that the day actually after they decided to withdraw this support, they actually produced a statement highlighting the benefits of outdoor play. You know, so you know there's an irony there in that regard, you know, given the fact that they did take that decision the day before highlighting that statement. And I think the education authority should be challenged, you know, to change their decision on this issue because of the benefits that it does bring to school children. But as I say, we are happy to support the motion from the Surrey Community Academy in representation to the Department of Education to ensure that they do change their decision in this matter.
Okay, Councillor Devon.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the speech. And thank you, Kit. I suppose one thing that we've taken into consideration just last week, we've seen the number of deaths here in Northern Ireland for next year weekly, numbers which have actually tried to be doubled in the next year period. So it's so vital the young age being encouraged to be as active as possible. We're living in a digital age, we all are, we're living on iPads and laptops. For many kids, it's fairly online gaming, but it's the outside enjoying the outdoors and being active. I always project in sports and charity from the school, which encourages as much as possible, whether that's athletics or soccer or athletics, all of which are so important. I see the teamwork involved in all these activities, stand children with progress in adulthood and increased employment. And again, Chair, as a broken record, if we had a family with a recently elected minister making this call, not a civil servant, it's very good for people, and duly is disadvantaged by its proposal.
Thank you, Councillor Devon. Councillor McGrew.
Thank you very much, Chair. We generally are happy enough with the motion, but we think that it is only fair and right that it is amended to include that this Council recognises that these cuts are the direct result of Tory austerity, and that the Council reaffirm our objections to these cuts that are an attack on the most vulnerable of our society. I'd also like to point out that the curriculum sports programme was introduced in 2007. It was done so by Cooner and Mann and Sinn Féin MLA in partnership with the GAA and the IFA. And as has already been said, its main aims were to tackle the rise in childhood obesity and type 2 diabetes, while also improving good mental health and developing social skills. From the announcement was made, I know my colleagues have been particularly proactive, and in fact she made Ennis used to sit here a few short months or a couple of years ago. Michelle O'Neill and Connor have met with the head of civil service, David Sturley, and they've made a formal request that interim funding would be found until long-term funding can be secured. We have also met with the Ulster Council and have also requested a meeting with the Permanent Secretary for the Department of Education. So certainly it is something that we have been very quick to try and reach a resolution. So we would propose that slight amendment, but in general are happy to accept the motion.
Thank you,
thank you, Chair. Very briefly, I welcome a whole lot of the comments that were made. It's just, I was looking at one of our WhatsApp groups here, and my daughter-in-law last week said that an 8-year-old grandson came home from school saying, Benny couldn't come train at school anymore because the politicians can't agree. She says, the kids today are taking a bath. And both are very pertinent to the argument. It does have a direct effect on an awful lot of very young people that are going through a good process. But it was interesting listening to Lucien there and the great work that some of our colleagues are doing around the country, and particularly on this issue. But I think it says, if the grandson says, it's because politicians can't agree. And maybe if we had an assembly and an executive, we could intervene, and this could be resolved. So I think it is time that moves were made to have the people in there to make these decisions, and not left to civil servants before it's my contribution to India.
Thank you, Councillor Carr. Councillor Loughran, there's been an amendment from Councillor McGree. Do you accept the amendment?
No.
Do you have a seconder for Councillor McGree's amendment? Councillor Jones. So we need to put it to a vote.
Yeah.
So those in favour? Sorry, would you like to read the amendment again, Councillor McGree?
Jackie, do you
want to
turn your mic
out
just
for a minute? Sorry, I missed that. Sorry.
Okay. Who's speaking then, Mark?
You're speaking.
I'm speaking, okay. As I say, in general, we are more than happy to support the motion. However, we feel that the council needs to recognise that these cuts are the direct result of Tory austerity, and that we as a council reaffirm our objection to these cuts that are nothing more than an attack on the most vulnerable of our society.
To amend to say the recognised cost of brought on the conservative.
Read it out again. The Council recognises that these costs are the direct result of Tory austerity, and that the Council reaffirms its objections to these costs that are little more than an attack on the most vulnerable of our society.
So, those exactly the Council. Councillor Kimmins, so those in favour
of adding that amendment?
Adding the amendment.
Ten.
Those against?
Two, four, six, eight, 10, 12, 15. 17.
Okay, the amendment's lost. Motion stands. So motion stands as the next. Councillor Mack here, do you still want it?
No, I'll just have it.
So, Councillor Lappin, do you want to sum up?
No, thanks. I think the motion is second to Lappin. I would just like to request that all the correspondents motion be forwarded to all the councillors for their support. Thank you.
Right, does everyone have agreement for everyone to do that?